Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. Don't you just feel it in your bones that something is going to happen? Something great is just about to happen. Mm-hmm. God is having a dress rehearsal, Kimberly.
There's a shifting.
There is a shifting, absolutely. And we are in the studio on one of the warmest days in December that we've ever had.
Yeah, might be breaking records here in Colorado.
Yes. Can you imagine 80 degrees?
Well, I think they're breaking records down in Oklahoma as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but wow, he said 80. Matthew was saying 80 degrees there.
Right.
But if it hit 80 degrees here in Colorado.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Oh, so I'm glad you joined us today. Some of you may be just crawling into bed to have a wonderful sleep. And oh, I bless your sleep. I bless you. Just totally relax. Give peace to your heart and your mind and think good thoughts. And pretty soon you'll wake up and you will have had 7 hours of sleep. I don't know how many hours you think you need, but sometimes all I need is 4, 5, 6 hours. It depends on what Holy Spirit is wanting to tell me. So that's exciting. It really is. To serve Him, it's so exciting.
Isn't it great to get to that place where you're not upset anymore when you are awakened in the middle of the night?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, Kimberly, that really is good. Mm-hmm. Because I used to wake up, oh, man, do I have to take something to get me back to sleep? Mm-hmm. And I say, oh, no. Lord, you're speaking to me, aren't you? And so I go over into the study. I said, all right, what are you trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. But and you wake up and you just let Him talk.
I do. It's so wonderful.
It is. Oh, let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. New life, friend. It is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And remember that during these hectic holidays. Oh, and we do have them. Oh, you can donate to Call to Freedom. We're getting a lot of letters and actually people asking for Bible guides. That's wonderful.
And power packs.
Power packs.
And calendars.
Yes.
Yes.
And all of this is free from Call to Freedom. If you get in touch with us, and you can get in touch with us by going to Barbara@freedomstreet.org or by calling 1-877-917-7256. Now, I am giving out a free calendar when you give a donation in December. So they're coming in, and I'm just grateful. I'm wanting to I'm wanting to give away and mail all the calendars we have.
Yes, so, I want that for you.
Yes.
We don't want them stacked up in your house.
That's right. So if you'll do that, get in touch with me and tell me that you would like a calendar. Give me your name and address so we can send that to you. I'm so grateful. And some of you have already asked for the calendar, so it's coming. It's coming in January. Mm-hmm. Oh, and our memory verse, I just said that at the beginning of this program, is Revelation 11:15. I have that plaque on my wall right by the front door. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever.
And good reminder.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Forever and ever. That means if He reigns forever and ever, guess who else reigns? We do.
Mm.
We get to reign with Him.
And it is, we have to remember God is love. God is mercy. God is kindness. He is reigning in his love, in his goodness forever and ever. Mm. That's how he describes himself. We were talking about that a couple weeks ago, that when Moses asked to see his glory, that the Lord described his own glory in Exodus 36. You can read it for yourself. He described himself as being compassionate, good, merciful, kind, kindness that lasts for all eternity. This is what reigns forever and ever.
That's right. Amen. Oh, it's God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The New Living Translation says this in Revelation 11 through, let's see, it's probably 14 through 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, "The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." The 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell with their faces to the ground and worshiped him, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who always was. For now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign." And pray that it's quickly, a quick reign. Praise the Lord. Well, Kimberly, I'm giving you some time here today before we listen to the song at the end of the program to give your, I don't even want to say opinion, your view of the translation in the Passion. I think it's mostly in the Passion Translation that you'll be reading from, or?
But I have also read the New American Standard, the King James. I've read just to look at the differences, and then also some of the original Greek and the Hebrew translation of the New Testament, because those words that are used are so deep. They're just, we can't pick one English word to translate any one of the Greek words or the Hebrew words or the Aramaic. So looking at it and realizing that we're holding this, you know, even your memory verse from Revelation 11, it goes back to the idea that he is the beginning and the end. He the Aleph and the Tav. And we were talking about that a lot last week. And when we remember that he is the author, he's the beginning and the end of all of this. He's authoring the whole thing. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. When we remember that, then we will not have fear. If we're thinking of him as being the good and kind and compassionate God that we know. Now, I am not saying that he is not a God of wrath and a God of justice and righteousness and holiness and purity. And that is also listed in our Bibles.
But not like it is in 1 John 4, verse 18. God is love.
And so, perfect love casts out all fear.
That's right. So if he were primarily a God of wrath, it would have said that in the Word of God.
Yes.
God is wrath. No. He's the opposite.
Love. He is
That's
love.
That's right.
Yeah. And so last week or week before, when we were talking about the Aleph and the Tav, I said that I would upload the notes to the blog, and I did get that done.
Oh, good.
So, yes.
I haven't looked.
I apologize. Thank you, listeners, for your patience, as it took me a while to get that uploaded. And thank you for your patience about our newsletters coming to your inbox. So many of you, over 100, have wanted us to send those newsletters directly to your inbox. We just haven't gotten that first model done. As soon as the first model is finished, then we're able to just do that monthly. So that's something to look forward to.
That's right.
So if we're remembering that Jesus is the Aleph and the Tav, he is the beginning and the end. You know, Revelation 1, he says that about himself, and he says, don't give in to fear. This is Revelation 1:17. It says, don't yield to fear. I am the beginning and I am the end. The living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forevermore. When we look at him as being baby Jesus, who came and was born here on this earth to die. And then he says about himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Okay, he was born here to die. Well, guess what? Every one of us is. We're all born on this earth to eventually die.
Mm-hmm. There has been no kind of cure for dying. Maybe it would prolong it a little bit, but we all die. Yes,
so
we do.
So if we look at the book of Revelation through the eyes of the one who is the life, mm-hmm. who is the way, and he was not, I guess maybe I can't say that he was not afraid to die, because he had that struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, if there's any other way, Father, please let this yes. cup be passed from me. And he was saying, please let this death be passed from me.
Yes. In fact, it's really hard for me to listen to that episode in The Chosen. Mm-hmm. It really is. I watched it last night, but then I turned it off halfway through the Garden of Gethsemane, because it was very realistic of how he must have grieved, because he sweat drops of blood,
yeah.
Kimberly.
Yeah.
So we know that. And I remember our friend Karen, who was a great friend in Greeley, and she had been working for her degree in biology, and she said at one point, it is biologically possible yeah. for a person to bleed out for the blood to flow, but she said that is in such
through
extreme
sweat. Right.
Yeah,
through
that's
sweat.
Such an extreme thing mm-hmm. that most people are dead by the time that comes out of their pores mm-hmm. or out of their veins.
Yeah, and so when you are feeling anxiety and stress and anxious, well, and fear, and also anger, rage, resentment, bitterness, when mm-hmm. you're feeling these feelings, you can know that Jesus felt them too.
Mm-hmm.
He came and he lived and he felt them too. And the hope that we have, so I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible, because it's too precious to me. It's too holy. The
yeah.
word, the scriptures are holy to me. So I'm not rewriting, but as I sat with the Lord more and more and just said, okay, talk to me about these four horsemen and all of this wrath being poured out in these bowls that's mm-hmm. being poured out on the earth. Talk to me about this.
And you'll find that in Revelation 6 that we're reading today.
Mm-hmm. And just a quick couple sentences about Revelation 5, that scroll that's unopened, that scroll that no one could open except Jesus himself, that scroll is a picture to me. Okay, and I'm not trying to teach or preach. I'm just giving my own experience of sitting with Jesus. That scroll is a picture of my life, that I'm not willing to be really opened up to the ideas of suffering, the idea of losing something, the idea of dying so that I can live. But that's Jesus' way. Mm-hmm. Jesus' way was suffering, and we are invited to share in the sufferings of Christ. Jesus' way was letting go and choosing death so he could truly live. And we're invited to that kind of resurrection life also.
Mm-hmm.
We are. So that scroll is this unopened place that we're not usually open to. And then when we get to chapter 6 of Revelation, breaking open the sealed scroll, we watch the Lamb. He broke open the first of the seven seals. Immediately I heard one of the four living creatures call out with a powerful voice of revelation, sounding like thunder, saying, "Come forth." So I looked, and behold, there was a bright white horse. Its rider had a bow and was given a crown of victory. He rode out as a conqueror ready to conquer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't have the other. Do you have the New American Standard in front of you that's that scripture?
No, I have the Living. And
okay, go ahead. And
the white horse standing there, its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gain the victory.
Yes. And so winning battles, gaining victory, conquer. He went to conquer as a conqueror. And mm-hmm. I know there are some that believe that as these seals are being opened, that there is like a consequence, a punishment coming to the earth with these riders that are coming in to conquer. But the only true conqueror that I know is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And fear, I've heard this and I don't even know where, fear cannot conquer me. Because Jesus already has.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think of the peace that Jesus has brought us, and the love and the kindness, the compassion and the mercy that he brought us in his death. When we think of that, we can see that as a conquering of our fears. Mm-hmm. All fear has to be put down and put under when we think of him in his goodness.
Yes. Now, some of you have been raised in denominations where this has not been taught, and it's something new, these metaphors that are given. And God used many examples of metaphors in the Bible. So we can't rule that out. But in the New American Standard, let's see, it was verse, what verse is that with the rider of the white horse? Yes, two. Mm-hmm. The rider on the white horse represented false peace. Now, that's what maybe you've learned in some Revelation studies if you've had classes in your church, and depicted the Antichrist coming. You might have heard that. So you're pitting evil here against the good that Kimberly is talking about in Revelation 6.
Mm-hmm. So and I don't know where they got the word false in that passage, because it's not there.
Well, I think Dr. Zodiates used it as many Bible scholars had used it before. Mm. And sometimes when you translate, we go to the one that has the most views that are common to how we believe. Mm. So some of you out there may be believing what you grew up with. What I'm saying to you is get God out of the box of Revelation that we've learned about, and just explore some of these things like Kimberly was talking about, just the Jesus coming on the white horse. Now, we might find some discrepancies on in this chapter, but we know that God explains it so well. So, okay, white horse.
So, yeah, that's the first horseman that comes out, and he's given that crown of victory, riding out as the conqueror. That's Jesus.
Yeah.
That's Jesus.
He rode out to win many, many battles and gain the victory.
Yes. So the second, this is in verse 3 of Revelation 6, when he broke open the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, "Come forth," and there appeared another horse, red like fiery flames, red, and its rider was given a great sword and the power to take peace from the earth, causing one to put to death another.
Now, why would Jesus come to take peace from this earth? Is it for a specific period of time that God has directed him to do this? Because it's right at the end of our history.
Well, let's look at what Jesus said about himself in Matthew 10:34. I'm turning there as I'm talking to you, because this passage in Matthew 10:34, where Jesus is speaking, was so comforting to me when my family was really struggling, and I felt like, okay, there's no peace right now in my family. So now what? And it was Holy Spirit that directed me to Matthew 10:34. Jesus says, "Perhaps you think I've come to spread peace and calm over the earth, but my coming will bring conflict and division, not peace."
And that's one of Jesus' characters. He came to fulfill all the law so that we don't have to go back and try to meet all those commandments. And I'll tell you, it would be horrible. I would not be in a good mood if I had to every day wake up to a whole bunch of rules and regulations. And
So another way I think to look at this is also that Jesus coming not to bring peace, but to bring conflict and division, is to have us questioning. Mm-hmm. You know, because in a human nature, at least in my human nature, I have a tendency to be very assured, self-assured. I can come up with answers that I think are exactly the way that this needs to be translated, or that this needs to be heard. I'm so much like that, and that's how I hear a lot of teachers. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of those revelations, maybe, that the Lord is saying, why don't you just sit and talk with me for a little bit?
Yes.
Why don't you hear what love has to say about this?
Yes. Now we're going to hear about the same view that they had that day when Jesus was born. It was just an ordinary baby born in a manger. In fact, less than what they are used to having babies born. So here we see a wonderful new touch of the meaning of he was just an ordinary baby.
He was just an ordinary baby. That's the way he planned it. Maybe anything but common would have kept him apart from the children that he came to rescue, limited to some elite few. When he was the only child who asked to be born, and he came to us with eyes wide open, knowing how we're hurt and broken, choosing to partake of all.
Did you hear that last line? We can come to Jesus and not be afraid. And even reading through this book of Revelation, Kimberly, we can say with joy, we are his sons, we are his daughters. Yes. He will never leave us. Yes.
Yes. Oh. So all these horsemen that we're reading about in Revelation, we can say, this is you, Jesus. We can say that he is King of all kings, Lord of all lords. So this, the white horse he rides out on with victory to conquer, on the red horse that's like fiery flames, those fiery flames are like purity, purifying. And as he's purifying, he was given the power to take peace from the earth, from our flesh, so that our flesh is not finding peace within itself, so that we're replacing that with heavenly peace. Heavenly peace. He's got a different peace for us. It's not the same peace that we get on this earth. And that's what he is giving to us. It's the power to take the peace from what we think we're getting peace from here, so that we can put all of our hopes and our trust and our faith in him and his peace that he has for us in the coming realm. Mm-hmm. And causing one to put to death another, that's kind of a scary phrase there in verse 4 of Revelation 6. But we can also see that the new life in us, the new creation life that he is giving us, is constantly taking over. Mm-hmm. And that sanctification process is putting to death our old life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's nothing to be afraid of there.
That's right. Now, you're going to hear two different views because I'm old school, okay? And Kimberly has gotten some of the personal spiritual things that you may be going through today that we have all got to go through as believers in Jesus Christ. The dying to him, the being raised again to him. So I want you to think about that. And if you'd like to go to Revelation 6, we're going to continue with this tomorrow. Oh, God bless you. Remember, you never have to be afraid with what Jesus is doing in your heart. Even when you see changes and you're going, I don't know what's going on. He's with you. He's with you. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in